Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for the word that you've given us, and we're just going to share these things that you put on my heart to share with your people. And Father, we just believe that everything that is said and done today would be for the edification of you and your kingdom and your glory. And I thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Well, if you have your Bibles, open them up to Matthew chapter 14. Matthew chapter 14. I'm not going to be long-winded because of all that has been said. It's so good that I don't need to add too much to it, but I just want to wind down some thoughts that might help you on the subject of faith. And we're going to move into another area, and that area is we're going to talk about the adversary, Satan. So next Sunday, Lord willing, we'll go into that area. But today, what I want to talk about is finishing talking about the subject of faith. And so, again, like we've said in the past, that the message of faith usually has always been centered around the concept of the triumphant faith. And, of course, we've been covering the subject of faith several Sundays, and I hope you've got it by now that faith is not just in one area only, but it involves several areas in our life. And so when you look at the term faith, it means trust. You're literally trusting God. And, of course, you don't just trust God in one area. You trust Him in all areas of your life. And so a lot of people always acquaint the message of faith just in that one little area of having a triumphant faith. And if you don't have a triumphant faith, then you're really not in the faith. You follow what I'm saying? And that's not necessarily true, because God will meet you wherever you're at. But your faith and trust in God is always there in spite of failures in your life. And so sometimes we have a failure in our life and we think that we're not in the faith, and that's not necessarily true at all. You can have failures in your life. You can have mistakes in your life, but that doesn't mean you've given up your faith. You know, from that aspect of not being in just one area, but faith is in every area. And so when people fight against the message of faith, they're fighting against this concept of this triumphant faith. And if we don't have triumphant faith, then you're not in faith at all. It's wrong. It's a wrong concept to have. Matter of fact, when I started getting into the message of faith, I only viewed it from the triumphant form. And so if somebody else wasn't in the same ballpark as I am, it's a pride that enters in you. Glory, you gloat in the fact that you have a part of God in your life that nobody else has. And that's not what faith is about. Faith covers many areas. We talked about the different main different areas is the triumphant faith and then the transforming faith. This is changes the way that our mind thinks, and we have what we call the transcending faith, continues on in spite of great loss or opposition. And then we have what we call the gift of faith, a supernatural impartation given by God at a specific time, if needed, to accomplish something beyond yourself. It's a gift that comes on you at the time that you need it. And so faith, when you're talking about the concept of faith, it is not in just one little area. It involves all areas of our life. Transforming faith. There's a lot of people who have had triumphant faith in their life, but when it comes to changing the way they think, they don't do it. They don't think different. You know, they're not changing. But yet they have an area in their life where they can believe God for the supernatural, but when it comes to changing their own lifestyle, they're failures. You know, and so just to put faith in one aspect only, it's not right. It's not doing justice to you. God will meet you where you're at. If you don't have triumphant faith, where you do have faith, where your faith is at, if you still connect God to it, even though you use natural means, you're still in faith with God. I mean, you don't give up on God just because you didn't win a victory. That's crazy. I want to talk a little bit about the concept of faith. When you're talking about the concept of faith,
I'm going to talk a little bit about Peter getting out and walking on water. And I want to share something with you that's important. Important for all of us. When we're talking about the subject of faith or trusting in God, do you guys have any idea what that does to your mind when we understand the term faith is believing in something you can't see? You know, a lot of times we don't really stop and think about what it means to believe beyond what we can see. And so here it is. In Matthew chapter 14, go to verse 22. Immediately Jesus made his disciples get into the boat and go before him to the other side. And while he sent the multitudes away, and when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up on a mountain by himself to pray. And when evening had come, he was alone there. But the boat was now in the middle of the sea, tossed by the waves, for the wind was contrary. Now in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went to them walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, "It is a ghost," and they cried out for fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them, saying, "Be of good cheer, it is I, do not be afraid." And Peter answered him and said, "Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water." So he said, "Come." And when Peter had come down out of the boat, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw that the wind was boisterous, he was afraid. And beginning to sink, he cried out, saying, "Lord, save me." And immediately Jesus stretched out his hand and caught him and said to him, "Oh, you of little faith, why did you doubt?" And when they got into the boat, the wind ceased. And then those who were in the boat worshipped him, saying, "Truly, you are the Son of God." Now I want to stop and let's put your mind into Peter's for a minute. Now there's mentioned other places about where they were called to the other side and the storm arose. Well, each writer added something or didn't put something in there. And this time one of the writers put in there Peter. And so Peter, and you knew that this had to be one of the times, we don't know which one, that he appeared as a ghost, and evidently this is the first time they ever saw Jesus walking on water. And so what does Peter do? He says, "The Lord bid me to come to you." Don't you love Peter? So he steps out, like most of us, when we find out the message of faith. We step out right away. "Lord, bid me to come into that same avenue." Now, I'm going to ask you something. Did the disciples know that they were in a storm? They knew they were in a storm. Well, it's not like that Jesus said, "Bid me to come in calm water." There was a storm. And he says, "Wow, that's Jesus walking on water." So what did Peter do? If he can do it, I can do it. And so what does he do? Just like a lot of us, we'll jump right out of the boat into the water and we'll start walking. And it says he saw the waves. He saw the what, for the first time? No, he stepped out in the water without the boat. And then he took notice of the wind and the waves. And you know, that's usually how we are sometime in our faith, when we need a triumphant faith. Or we need to exercise in a position that we're in, and we feel just like Peter. Oh, man, I can do this, man. And then all of a sudden one day, you have to do it. You have to get out of the boat, and you have to step in that water. Do you guys know what I'm talking about? And so now you got a different mindset going. You know what? We can all agree. Praise God. I have enough faith that it can work. But when you get the diagnosis of terminal ending to life, now you've stepped out of the boat. Now, what are you going to do about it? Nobody can help you but who? Jesus. And so, if you step out and you start looking at the wind, and you start looking at the waves, and guess what? What man wouldn't consider that? There isn't one of us in this building that would not consider that situation. Come on, let's be honest. There ain't one of us that would not consider that situation. And so, Peter steps out of there and he got the word from Jesus. He looked at the wind. He looked at the waves. I can't do this. So he began to sink. What if Jesus said, adios, amigos? He wouldn't have to worry about walking on that water. Eventually, he would be floating on top of it. You know what I mean? No, what did Jesus do? He reached in, grabbed him, rescued him. He said, wherefore did you doubt? Why did you doubt? You know what doubt is? Doubt's probably one of the greatest enemies to our faith. I looked up the meaning to the word doubt. And I thought it was very interesting. Doubt. This is the term that they gave. Are you ready? You might want to write this down. Doubt is a willingness to believe, but another opinion gets in the way. That's what doubt is. I'll say it again. Doubt is a willingness to believe, but another opinion gets in the way. You know where wavering comes from? Diakrino means to doubt, to pass from one sentence to another sentence, vacillating back and forth. And I'm going to tell you something. If you've been in the presence of reasoning, that means walking out through your natural flesh. When persecutions, afflictions come your way, guess what? The one that you've given your mind to the most to will have the greatest effect on you. That's why I always try to encourage believers, whatever you do in life, never pull away from the presence of God daily in your life. Keep Him daily in your life. Because when you're in the presence of God on a consistent basis, it makes it easier to hear His voice than to hear your own. You're always living with your natural mind because it's crazy. It's insane. It wants to die. Because the natural mind is nothing but death. But the mind of the Spirit is life and peace. And so if you get depressed and you're down all the time and things ain't working for you, it's because you've been in the presence of the natural being that you are more than in the presence of God. And the best way to break that, it's worked for me every time, is start praying in the Holy Ghost. And I'm going to tell you something. When you've been in the flesh for a long time, in the presence of flesh, there is no cutting edge in you for God. And it takes an effort on your part to be willing to get back into the presence of God in spite of what you feel. God's presence doesn't come with feelings right away. And why is that? Because it's up to you how close you want to draw to God. And so what you have to do is you have to make the efforts to get back into His presence in spite of what your natural mind says. There was a time in Eugene, Oregon, I think I shared it with Sue, but I was going through where I knew the enemy was coming at my mind. And one day I was laying down on my bed and this fear came on me and I couldn't shake it. And so I got up, and the only way I got rid of that fear was to start praying in the Spirit, praying in tongues. But I knew that if I got too much out of the presence of God, that mind would take over. And so I feared that for a while. And then finally it eventually left me because I went to Dave and was sharing with him, how do you handle this fear that comes on you and everything? He says, you learn to ignore it. He says, if you give your mind to what it's saying, it'll increase. If you learn to ignore it. And so I went and looked up the word for mind there. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ. That word there, mind, is the word phroneo, which literally means what you give your thinking to. And I got to thinking, oh my gosh, I wonder if that's in Romans 8. And it's in Romans 8. It says, for the mind of the flesh versus the mind of the spirit. And it's the word phroneo. It means what you occupy your mind with. And Dave was right. I went back to Dave and said, Dave, it's got to be something more than that. And Dave said, well, like what? He says, you just got to learn to ignore it. How many of you learn to ignore some people? If you've been married over 5 years or over a year, you learn to ignore the other one. Somewhere. Amen? Eventually, you should learn not to ignore it. But as far as that part of your thinking that wants to destroy you, you've got to learn to ignore it. And see, that's where doubt comes from. And if you occupy your mind too much to the presence of what you are in the natural, then it'll take control of you. And what it'll do, it'll ruin your whole testimony of what you are in God eventually. You got to be careful of that because you are a witness for the Lord Jesus Christ. You have a responsibility to be a good witness to the world. And in case you hadn't figured it out by now, you've been sent into the kingdom of God to promote the kingdom of God, not the devil. Thought I'd throw that in there. But I just want us all to get a hold of something, that faith is not just in one area only. It's in every area or every aspect of our life. And Satan knows how to take advantage of a person who preoccupies himself with the presence of his natural being. And Dave, I like what he said to me. He said, well, what do you want me to tell you, brother? He says, the reason that you're where you're at is because you're occupying the presence of your natural being. And I said, well, how do I break it, Dave? He says, learn to ignore it. Oh, there's got to be more than that. There's got to be more than that. Maybe I need to see a psychiatrist. You don't want to say that around Dave. He looked at me like I needed salvation all over again. Isn't that funny how your mind, your natural mind works? It's crazy. Because it's got to have something. Well, really, it's your spiritual mind that's got to have transformation. Not your natural mind. It never succumbs to the will of God. Wouldn't it be nice if once you got born again, your natural mind loses its authority? Wouldn't that be great? Boy, this place would be packed. Why? Because there's no resistance to God. We'd all just give in to God. And we know we don't do that. So, faith is trusting in God in every area of our life. And it does not mean that you have to preoccupy yourself with the presence of your natural being. You have to learn to put him to death. And you have to learn to take up your cross and follow him. What does that mean to take up your cross? Recognize where he was declared on the cross. Graveyard material. And a lot of times the reason Christians get caught back up into the natural is because they seem to forget what they have committed themselves to. So I thought I'd share that in the ending up on the subject of faith and so next Sunday we're going to start by on the subject of the enemy, our arch enemy Satan, and we'll view some things there that had come up with me and my wife, and I won't discuss them this morning, but she brought some things to my attention on the subject of Satan, and man, it was so good. I love Sue. I love my wife. She's, huh? I am too. Praise God. I won't get far from the woodshed. Hallelujah. So I just wanted to share that with you, how radical of a change that makes from your natural mind to your spiritual mind, especially using Peter as that example.
How many of you can recognize that Peter had a legitimate reason to doubt? Come on. If you guys are all back in there, same thing. He had a legitimate reason to doubt. But wasn't it great that Jesus said, come on, Peter. And he was upset at Peter. He said, wherefore did you doubt? Well, evidently, God wanted, Jesus wanted Peter to finish his walk. And then when he gets back into the boat, what do they all say?
What manner of man is this?
Can you imagine that? Those dummies, they needed to read their Bible. Well, we'll stop there. Praise God. Aren't you glad you came this morning? Hallelujah. I am too. Praise God. I love it. Hallelujah. Well, let's everybody stand up. We're going to go ahead and close and let you get out of here and put your sandals and shorts on and sip your lemonade and all that. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for the joy of being brought into the kingdom of heaven. And Father, all of us can rejoice at your goodness and your love for us. And Father, you always want the best for us. And Father, in Job chapter 5, you said some wonderful things about your care and concern, even for Job, which literally means if you had that care for him, you have it for us. And so, Father, I ask that every one of us settle down and put our mind on the things that we've inherited coming to you, so that we would be at peace even with our faith. So that, Father, when the winds and the storms come our way, we can still know that you're there to say, let me have your hand, Peter. You won't sink. I'm with you. And I thank you that Peter had you, Jesus, as an example in spite of his doubt, and you rescued him. Father, I thank you that that's a good example of what you are to every one of us here this morning. And Father, as we close this service, if there's anybody here that has never received you as their Lord and Savior and would like to, and they're walking on the sea of torment and undecisiveness with the wind driven and tossed where their life is just going and just anywhere. And Father, they can anchor their soul in Jesus. This morning, if you've never said the sinner's prayer, you can have that opportunity to come forward and let us lead you into the kingdom of God. And if you're here and you've known the kingdom of God and the enemy has hit you and you want to recover and you want to begin to get back into the presence of God, then we're here this morning to pray with you and for you, to encourage you to continue in your walk and your testimony. And if you've never been filled with the Holy Spirit, he's here to fill you to the fullness in Jesus' name. And so with every head bowed, every eye closed, if that fits you, step out from wherever you're sitting and feel free to come up here. And we'll be glad to pray with you. Anybody? Hallelujah. Okay, let's get ready to go home. I could be in this all day. Father, in the name of Jesus, may your people have a great day. And Father, may they have a wonderful day in the name of Jesus. Amen. Did we take up an offering? Yeah, okay. You can go.